An introduction to Thomas Hardy, the short stories. Many giants of literature originate from the shores of these Emerald Isles. Shakespeare, Dickens, Chaucer, the Brontes and Austen, to which most people would willingly add the name Thomas Hardy. Far from the madding crowd, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, the Mayor of Casterbridge, are but three of his literary masterpieces. But let us add to this his short stories. They are often overlooked as being the poor, underdeveloped relative of a greater work. But from writers of the calibre of Hardy, this is just not so. He picks stories and creates characters that drive, meld and create pages that in their numerically shorter length are, in fact, the perfect length. Our stories are read for you by Richard Mitchley.
The Withered Arm by Thomas Hardy. 1. A Lawn Milkmaid. It was an 80-cow dairy, and the troop of milkers, regular and supernumerary, were all at work. For though the time of year was as yet but early April, the feed lay entirely in water meadows, and the cows were in full pail. The hour was about 6 in the evening, and 3/4 of the large red rectangular animals having been finished off, there was opportunity for a little conversation.
"He do bring home his bride tomorrow, I hear. They've come as far as Anglebury today."
The voice seemed to proceed from the belly of the cow called Sherry, but the speaker was a milking woman whose face was buried in the flank of that motionless beast.
"Have anybody seen her?" said another.
There was a negative response from the first.
"Though they say she's a rosy-cheeked, tisty-tosty little body enough," she added.
And as the milkmaid spoke, she turned her face so that she could glance past her cow's tail to the other side of the barton, where a thin, fading woman of 30 milked somewhat apart from the rest.
"Years younger than he, they say,"
continued the second, with also a glance of reflectiveness in the same direction.
"How old do you call him, then? 30 or so?"
"More like 40,"
broke in an old milkman near, in a long white pinafore or wropper, and with the brim of his hat tied down so that he looked like a woman.
"I was born before our great weir was builded, and I hadn't man's wages when I laved water there."
The discussion waxed so warm that the purr of the milk streams became jerky, till a voice from another cow's belly cried with authority,
"Now then, what the turk do it matter to us about Farmer Lodge's age, or Farmer Lodge's new missus? I shall have to pay him £9 a year for the rent of every one of these milchers, whatever his age or hers. Get on with your work, or it'll be dark afore we've done. The evening is pinking in already."
This speaker was the dairyman himself, by whom the milkmaids and men were employed. Nothing more was said publicly about Farmer Lodge's wedding, but the first woman murmured under her cow to her next neighbour, "'Tis hard for she," signifying the thin, worn milkmaid aforesaid.
"Oh, no," said the second. "He ain't spoken to Rhoda Brook for years."
When the milking was done, they washed their pails and hung them on a many-forked stand, made as usual of the peeled limb of an oak tree set upright in the earth, and resembling a colossal antlered horn. The majority then dispersed in various directions homeward. The thin woman, who had not spoken, was joined by a boy of 12 or thereabout, and the twain went away up the field also. Their course lay apart from that of the others, to a lonely spot high above the watermeads, and not far from the border of Egdon Heath, whose dark countenance was visible in the distance as they drew nigh to their home.
"They've just been saying down in the barton that your father brings his young wife home from Anglebury tomorrow," the woman observed. "I shall want to send you for a few things to market, and you'll be pretty sure to meet him."
"Yes, mother," said the boy. "Is father married, then?"
"Yes. You can give her a look, and tell me what she's like if you do see her."
"Yes, mother."
"If she's dark or fair, and if she's tall, as tall as I, and if she seems like a woman who's ever worked for a living, or one who's always been well off, and has never done anything, and shows marks of the lady on her, as I expect she do."
"Yes."
They crept up the hill in the twilight and entered the cottage. It was built of mud walls, the surface of which had been washed by many rains into channels and depressions that left none of the original flat face visible, while here and there in the thatch above a rafter showed like a bone protruding through the skin. She was kneeling down in the chimney corner before two pieces of turf laid together with the heather inwards, blowing at the red-hot ashes with her breath till the turves flamed. The radiance lit her pale cheek and made her dark eyes, that had once been handsome, seem handsome anew.